Janice, good morning. Go ahead.
Good morning, sir. Everybody that's in the room, I'm truly enjoying this. I'm telling you, I'm really enjoying it. I would like to know, I've seen somebody have wrote up there about one seal always saved. I want to know about that.
Well, Janice, you know what? I'm enjoying you being here. I'm just real pleased that you're here and that you keep coming back. And yes, that is a good question. Question was, once sealed, always saved. You want to know about that. The seal that people refer to when they use that expression, once sealed, always saved, that seal is taken from something that Paul said in the book of Ephesians. Paul's talking about, in the context of Ephesians chapter 1, he's talking about two different groups of people there. And you know, we've talked about that. We've talked about the people who were a part of the Commonwealth of Israel, remember. And then we talked about people like you and I that had no part with Israel. We just were not associated with Israel at all. And that's who he's talking about here in this context. But in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 12, look what he says here. He says that we, and that's that first group of people, that's the Jews and the Jewish proselytes and the Gentiles that were associated with Israel, that feared the God of Abraham and so forth. A group of people that Paul calls we, and Paul includes himself. He's included in that group. Otherwise it wouldn't say we, would it? That we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. And then here's the second group of people. And he says, in whom ye also, and that's the Gentiles, that's people like you and I, in whom ye also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Now watch, Janice, right here. Keep reading that last phrase down there after the colon. In whom also, after that you believed, you were sealed. See it? You were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession under the praise of his glory. Do you understand what the verse is saying there, Janice? You see what Paul's making clear to those people there? These Ephesians are somebody that he didn't know. He had never met these people. He didn't know them. And they didn't know him, but he had heard of their faith. Look at the next verse there, and it tells you that. He says, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, he says he ceased not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, he says. But what he's saying there, he's found out that these people have heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and that they've trusted the Lord, and now he's writing this Ephesian letter to make them know who they are and what they have in Christ. And that's one of the most important things there, see. The fact that once you trust the Lord, believing that he died for all of your sins and that he was raised for your justification, then you are sealed, see, in whom, after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest. What is earnest? What do you do when you buy a house? Or you go make a purchase somewhere? You put up some earnest money, don't you? You put up some money to show the fellow that's making the sale that you're earnest about it, that you mean it, that you're sincere about it. Well, that seal of the Holy Spirit is God's earnest on us. In other words, it's God's assurance, it's God's guarantee to us that there is going to be a redemption of that which Christ bought and paid for. And that's exactly what he says. Until the redemption of the purchased possession. Paul says you're bought with a price. In other words, Jesus Christ paid the price. And it wasn't silver and gold, was it? Peter talks about that redemption, doesn't he? In 1 Peter. That's a good verse. Let me go over there and just show you what Peter said. Not redeemed with corruptible things as of silver and gold, but but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, as of the blood of a lamb. That's what we were redeemed by, Christ's blood. The redemption is through the blood of Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ paid the total price, all that God required. Jesus Christ did the work of our redemption at Calvary at the cross. In other words, thank you, Cindy. I was trying to look for it earlier, but it's in verse 19. But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. That was the price of our redemption. So the price has been totally paid. There's no more payment to be made on it. There's nothing for you to pay. There's nothing for me to pay. It's all worked out. All of the work pertaining to our salvation was done by Jesus Christ in what he did at the cross, in his death, his burial, and his resurrection. So, Paul says that once we heard the word of truth, we trusted the Lord, we believed that we were sealed. That's the seal. Once sealed, always saved. The Bible says the word of God standeth sure, and hath this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his. He knows you. He knows that he bought you with a price. He knows that because you, by your own free will, decided to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, believing that he died for your sins, and believing that he was raised for your justification, and believing that God is not imputing, he's not charging your sins to you, because nearly 2,000 years ago at the cross, he charged them to Jesus Christ, and he made him to be sin for us. Him who knew no sin became our sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That's why Paul says what he does in Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. The wages of sin is death. And we know that Christ died. He took the payoff, didn't he? He received our wages. So that's why Paul says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So, when you're sealed, there's nothing that can break that seal, Janice. Remember we talked about, I talked about yesterday, and I know you know this, my grandmother and, well, my whole family, and some of them still do ever from time to time, can stuff. They put stuff up in mason fruit jars or whatever, you know, fresh vegetables and crops and things that that they've harvested from the garden and so forth. You know about that, right? Well, think about when Grandma used to can an old, she'd go out into the orchard or out to the peach tree and pick a bunch of fresh peaches, and she'd can those peaches. Well, what did they do? They put the fruit inside of that mason jar, and you remember that two-piece lid? It had a ring, and then it had a top cap that went inside that ring, and they'd screw that lid down on there, you know, just down to a snug fit, and they'd put those fruit jars in a big old pan of water, wouldn't they? And they'd kick the heat on under that pan of water, and that when that water got up to the right temperature, that lid would snap, wouldn't it? And when the lid snapped, it sealed those peaches inside that jar, didn't it? Well, it's the same way with us. We're sealed. That's right. Those peaches were in that jar, and they couldn't get back out of there. They couldn't get back out until Grandma opened the jar. And when Grandma opened the jar, they were just as fresh and just as well preserved as the day that they were put in there. That's the idea. Sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. The Lord knoweth them that are his. You see, Christ died to save his body, and we are his body. We are the church which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Now you are the body of Christ, and members in particular. See, so once sealed, always saved, no doubt about it. Look at Ephesians chapter 4, and look at verse 30. Paul says, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed." There it is again. "Whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption." Well, what is the day of redemption? The day of redemption is the day when the Lord himself, not his angel, not the angel of the Lord as in Revelation chapter 1, or not the angel as in the book of Daniel, but the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, Paul says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we shall be changed. We'll be changed. Look at Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20. I'm trying to show you the day of redemption here. And we're sealed unto that day. Our conversation, and that's like citizenship, our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, and on and on and on. So that's the day of redemption. That's the day when the Lord comes to deliver his people from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father. So that's the day of redemption, and that's how long you're sealed for. You're sealed right to that day. You're sealed for that day. Because, see, God had a plan and he had a purpose even before the foundation of the world. And that's what it's all about. A believer who has trusted the Lord cannot lose his salvation, the reason being he didn't do anything to get it in the first place. You see, there are people in denominational religions and all kinds of different religions, like the fellow with the red dot right now, he evidently has a religion, you know, and he's trying to work his way into trying to please a God really that doesn't exist, you know, trying to please some idolatrous thing, some Egyptian moon god or something. And he doesn't even know the God of Abraham. He doesn't even know God, the possessor of heaven and earth. But God had a purpose in all of this. And that was to do a work in which he and he alone would get the glory for it. And Jesus Christ, God was in Christ, the Bible says, reconciling the whole world unto himself. So God was doing something in Jesus Christ, you see. Jesus Christ is the one who did the work. Paul says clearly in Titus chapter 3 and verse 5, not by works. See, Titus 3 and 5, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. Look at Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. For by grace are you saved, not working on it. You're not working on it, you already are, see. If you've trusted Jesus Christ, then you're already saved. By grace, through faith. Now, where religion misses the point and they can't get the picture is because it's not your faith that's being spoken of there. It's not your grace and it's not your faith. And he plainly tells you that, but religion ignores it. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works. The next verse says, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship. There again, I'm just trying to show you that Jesus Christ did the work. We don't have any work to do. As far as our salvation is concerned, the work is already done. Salvation is a gift. And if you had to work for it, it wouldn't be a gift, would it? If you had to work for it, it wouldn't be a gift. And if you had to work for it in order to keep it, well, it still wouldn't be a gift, would it? So salvation is free. It's a free gift. The wages of sin is death, and Jesus Christ died for our sins. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So I hope you understand that, Susan. That's what the phrase means when you hear people talking about once sealed, always saved. There are people in denominational religion, one of them just got booted out of the room, they're not sealed, are they? Because they don't trust the word of truth. They don't believe the word of truth that Paul was referring to there in Ephesians 1:13. I don't think they even understand it. They won't sit still long enough to understand it. But they don't, there are people in religion, and not only those other religions, but in so-called Christianity itself, there are people in so-called Christianity that don't trust the Lord for salvation. They trust in their own goodness and their own good works and their church membership and their water baptism and their repenting and their confessing, and on it goes. Religious works. They trust in their religion. They don't trust in the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. That's what got the job done. So that's what it means when you trust the Lord, when you just quit trying. I mean, you just quit that walk in the aisle for Jesus, and you quit asking Jesus into your heart, and you quit praying through at the altar, and you give up all of those rituals and things that people get involved in all the time. You quit trying, and you start trusting. That's when you're sealed. You trust the Lord, and bingo, the moment you trust the Lord, you're sealed. And the Lord knoweth them that are His. Okay? So I hope that helps you understand that, Janice.